Our reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he still will deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. We thank God for his word this morning. Second Corinthians is a deeply personal letter in which Paul shares his heart with the church at Corinth and the believers in Achaia, which would include believers in Athens and Cenchrea. Following 1 Corinthians, in which he had had to address many serious problems in the church at Corinth, and following a painful visit to the church there, it had been an enormous relief for Paul to hear from Titus that the church had sought to put things right and longed to see him again. In this letter, he opens his heart to these people as he shares the hardships, the dangers, and disappointments he had faced. But he also shares how, despite those times when he had almost despaired of life itself, and although there would be new challenges ahead when he visited and met those who resisted his apostolic ministry, he was confident that God was in control and working in and through all that was happening. And so he concludes his letter with those familiar words, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So let us turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verses 1 to 11. Paul begins this in his familiar style by reminding these people that he was not a self-appointed apostle. He was an apostle by the will of God. I'm sure that whenever he wrote those words, his mind went back to his road to Damascus experience, when the arrogant, persecuting Saul came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he humbly received him as his Saviour and Lord, and was commissioned to serve as an apostle, ultimately with a new name, Paul. Paul mentions Timothy in the opening verse as well. Timothy had accompanied Paul on his first visit to Corinth and had spent some time ministering in the church there. The reference to Timothy in verse 1 suggests he was with him when he wrote this letter. In verse 2, he expresses his heartfelt desire that they will know the grace of God and the peace of God which flows from that grace. The grace of God and the peace of God come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one mediator between God and man, and who died to pay the penalty that God's justice demanded in order that we may be set free from sin and death and hell. Paul wanted these people to delight not in other people, but in the God of amazing grace. And that is true as we come to the first main section of this letter this morning. God is the greatest of all comforters. I think many of us, if we were asked to sum up the character of the Apostle Paul, would say that he was a strong man, courageous and resilient. But although that was true, there were times when, as we see in verse 8, he reached the end of his endurance and he despaired of life itself. But he was able to add in verse 9, "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but that was so. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Paul found his solace, his comfort in God. Sadly, there are those who appear to give the impression that if a person will but accept Jesus as their Saviour and Lord, that from then on, they will have a life free from worry, from difficulties, from sickness, from poverty, and the like. Here Paul, like the Lord before him, makes it clear that that is not the case. There will be times when all of us who love and follow the Lord Jesus Christ will go through testing times. Those testing times may take many forms. Like the apostle, it may take the form of physical suffering, or it may be mental or spiritual anguish. That suffering may come at the hand of those who oppose the gospel. It may come from those who claim to be believers but hold a different gospel. It may even come from those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes they may be right in their criticism of us. But when those times of testing come, do we, like Paul, look to the Lord? Sometimes we Christians are tempted to think, "I can handle this," or "I can handle this on my own." Or sometimes we are so overwhelmed by a situation that it doesn't even dawn on us that we can bring it to the Lord. I would simply say, don't miss out. Bring these things to the Lord. I wish I could word perfectly memorize Hebrews 4 and verses 14 through to 16. I've referred to this passage on a number of occasions, but let me read it to you again. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. What an encouragement to bring our burdens to the Lord. I've not memorized anywhere enough passages of scripture, and now age is against me. Let me say to any younger people who may be listening, try learning passages of scripture while you are younger. You may not achieve what one Hungarian did and memorize the whole New Testament by the time you're 21, but I would encourage you to memorize key passages like Hebrews 4 verses 14 to 16. And if you struggle to memorize the exact words, at least hold on to the truths that they contain. What an encouragement we have to look to God as our comforter in times of need in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. In that verse, we discover, first of all, that he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that encourages us to come to him. For this is the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is the God who, according to Romans 5 and verse 8, demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here is the God who takes us just as we are. Here is the God who provides a covering for our sin. Here is the God who gives his Spirit to make us more the people he would have us be. And he is the God Paul writes about in Romans 8 and verse 32 and says, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When we are facing testing times, let us come to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is more. In verse 3, we also discover that he is the Father of mercies. Let me read to you what David wrote of the Lord in Psalm 103 and verses 8 through to 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He is merciful to all who call on him. He is a forgiving God. He is a rescuing God. He reaches out to the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the lame, and the sick. He shows compassion to the hungry, the destitute, the desperate, the lonely, and the fatherless. Paul says, here is the God I go to. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And then he adds, he is the God of all comfort. Comfort is a key word in 2 Corinthians. It occurs on 28 occasions in one form or another. How does God comfort his people? Obviously, to begin with, he comforts us by forgiving our sin, by saving us, and giving us his gift of eternal life. He comforts us by his presence, 24/7. In Matthew's Gospel, he promises to be with us always. And in Hebrews, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We praise God too that he comforts us by his felt presence, by his Spirit, giving us his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his gentleness, his faithfulness, his self-control, his boldness. He also comforts us through the Scriptures. What a comfort it is to remind us that God is Lord over all and has everything under control. To be reminded that he knows the end from the beginning. What a comfort to know that his plans for us are plans for good and not for evil. And that in all things he is working for the good of those who love him. What a comfort to know that whatever we face, his grace is sufficient for us. And he will never allow us to suffer more than with his help we can endure. What a comfort to know that none of these things can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And what a comfort to know that the best is yet to come. This was the God Paul was looking to and encouraging these Christians to look to as well. However, Paul also wanted the believers in Corinth and Achaia also to see the blessings that his time of difficulty and suffering had brought. Firstly, it had resulted in his own spiritual development and sanctification. As Paul writes in verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us. God used Paul's experience of immense trial to bring him to a point where he could see that he could no longer rely on himself. But he could still trust his all-sufficient God. And particularly note what he writes at the end of the verse. In God who raises the dead. At the point of death, we can do nothing for ourselves. Our loved ones here on earth can do nothing to help us. But God is the expert at intervening in hopeless situations. And he who raised Jesus from the dead will raise us also. And not only that, when it is in his plan and purpose to do so, he will rescue his people from their hopeless situations. Often our extremity is God's opportunity. God often uses our difficulties to grow us spiritually. And then secondly, through difficulties and sufferings, Paul was able to enter in to a deep fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As our Lord and the other New Testament writers make clear, those who trust and follow Christ inevitably experience some form of opposition and possibly hatred and persecution. But we do not bear that alone. Our Lord, who walked this way before us, feels it too, shares it with us, and reaches out to us. A few days ago, I was reading those words of Jesus from the cross when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? I found Glenn Scrivener's comments helpful. On the cross, Jesus shared our alienation from God due to our sins. Therefore, if God takes even our God-forsakenness to himself, then there is simply no situation in which we need despair. Even the most profound experiences of abandonment can be a participation in the suffering of Christ, and therefore an experience of deepest divine fellowship. And finally, Paul's experience led to deeper fellowship with others. Firstly, his difficulties and sufferings were a means of blessing to other believers. Verse 6 looks so complicated, but in fact it's amazingly straightforward. As the New Bible Commentary says, the apostle's suffering and comfort would doubly benefit the Corinthians. First, Paul himself was now better fitted to serve them. His experience meant that he was more experienced and more mature to minister to them. And secondly, the Corinthians too could learn to draw on the same source of comfort as Paul shared the source of his comfort and hope with these people. And then secondly, his difficulties and his sufferings united them in prayer. Paul was confident that in answer to their prayers, he would continue to be delivered from those who opposed and persecuted him. And that happened until the time when the Lord took him to heaven. And as these people saw answers to their prayers, together they were able, with Paul, to give thanks to God. Yes, Paul's experience led to deeper fellowship with others, but it's to the Lord that we give all the glory. Amen.